Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for restoring us. God, we thank you for a new year that we can celebrate you. God, we worship you and we praise you and we give you honor today, Lord. Father, today we just come into your presence. God, we worship you in spirit and truth. God, we would ask this morning as you unscale our eyes, God, as you take the plugs from our ears in this new year, that God, we would remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, we thank you for sending your son for us. God, we thank you for who you are and who you are to each and every one of us. God, we just ask for the redeeming blood of Jesus to be poured out over us again and again in the forgiveness of our sins. God, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and we give you all the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Everyone said amen. You may be seated if you can. I want to thank many of you. A lot of you, brand new year, right? Has anybody had any trials yet this year already?
Hallelujah!
Yeah. Some of you is telling me some of your sorry stories already. I said, oh, man, the devil started attacking me at midnight on New Year's Eve. They still lost. And so I thank many of you for praying for my family as we've been under a great attack. But, you know, and I share this because my son-in-law had emergency surgery the day after New Year's. And so he went through an appendicitis that was, of course, unexpected. But anyways, he got through it, amen. And then my brother, he went on to be with the Lord this morning after 3 days of illness. So I just want to thank you for the prayers. And this morning at 4:30, we had a celebration. Amen. And so I've been sharing the revival in Kentucky with you, and it was cool because both his daughters got saved in that revival, his adult daughters. Amen. So what the enemy intends for bad, just know that God will get glory out of it. Amen. Amen. So that's what I was working on my message, and I went to bed late, and then the phone starts ringing, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, then a 4 and 4:15, then he passed at 4:30. But you begin to think about this. What's God doing? A new thing. A new thing. And so, you know, and I was just so thankful. I got to speak to my nieces and give them encouragement and my nephew this morning. And one of them said something to me. They said something, man, you've always brought us hope. You've always brought us hope. And I said, well, there's a season for everything. There's a season for mourning. There's a season. I said, but I know one thing, my brother, he loved Jesus. And what he said was, I'm not going on all that stuff you want to put me on. Send me home. Let me meet Jesus. And the last thing he said is, God help me. That's his last words this morning is, he exited this earth. And you think about that. That should be all of our last breath. And the truth is this. Are we working for heaven? Are we working for heaven? That was my reminder to all my family this morning as we was talking. I said, well, the question is, isn't that what we're working for? Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I love my brother. Yeah, I'd hate to see him go. But the truth is, he is where he's been working to be for 72 years, amen? So, you know, with all that said, I thought about the message this morning. And I thought about, God, you're just always on time. And I thought about the title of the message this morning. It's called A Fresh Start. A Fresh Start. And so you get make all those things you already made. Most of you already messed them up anyway. It's called New Year's Resolutions. Oh, you haven't? That's okay. You will by next week, okay? And so that's exactly how it goes. And so I'm not a fan of New Year's resolutions because I think that we should be living a life of thankfulness at all times. I think we should be sacrificing to Christ through prayer, fasting, the Word of God, evangelism, fellowship, not for a special event, but a lifestyle. And so I share that over and over again. Here's what's important. Did God give you a redo? Did God give you a start over? Has he reset you? Has he done something for you in 2025 and before? And does he want to do something new in 2026 and beyond? So you think about that and you put it into perspective. I'm talking about this fresh start this morning, but it's a new beginning, if you will. It's been labeled by many pastors in different terminology, but it's a chance to start over with a clean slate, if you will, leaving past difficulties behind for a more positive future. This often involves some things. It involves very significant change driven by renewal and driven by hope, driven by renewal and driven by hope. So you begin to wonder this and question these things. It is a brand new year, and this year is 2026. I was reminded last night as we had our evening service that it was like this, is that some of the people that I've seen there, I was talking to Hiram about this just a moment ago. It's got to come some point in people's lives when they change, but we must decide for the change. We can blame everybody else, and sometimes it can be somebody else's fault. I'm not saying it's not, but the truth is the only thing and the only one you can change is you. So if you want a new beginning, if you want a fresh start, if you want to come to the place where you get a chance to start over or a do-over in this new year, it's time for you to really know that God is calling you, positioning you. And all those distractions that's been happening the last 4 or 5 days in my life, it has made me more narrowly focused on my purpose for this life. It's a brand new year, and I shall focus even more intently on 2026. My question is it possible for me to get a fresh start? Is it possible for you to have a fresh start? So often, let me tell you the truth, I want to qualify this with scripture, but yes, it is very possible. The problem is you. So often, nobody knows your dirt better than you. And so what happens is we think we don't deserve a fresh start, that we have to earn it, that we have to duck so low or spend so many times or whatever it is that we come up with that the enemy lies to us about, but you deserve a fresh start. No matter where you're at today, you don't go back. We told this to a brother last night. You don't go back because you sinned back to day one. You go back to the same day you're in through repentance. You begin to know that God's working a brand new work in your life, and you are worthy of the restart. You are worthy to be cleansed. You are worthy to be healed, and God wants to do something. I'm going to share some things with you this morning. So this isn't going to be on the board, so listen to this. There's four elements. There's a fifth one I want to share with you at the end, but there's four elements. You might want to write them down. There's four elements I want to talk about this morning on four different scriptures, but three specifically. One of them is about renewal, and the other one's about change, which go together. If you want to be renewed, it takes change. It's that simple. So you can keep faking it to make it like the world likes to tell you, and you'll keep doing the same thing you've always done, getting the same result and wondering why may. But God wants us, and I want to share with you this morning, right now, coming back to it in the 51st Psalm. And I want to talk about where David was and what David had done. Remember, David is a man after God's own heart, but yet he is a wretched sinner just like you and me. You hear what I'm saying? So that brings us hope. It brings us hope for a fresh start. And so we look at this renewal and change. We're going to look at it in Psalm 51. And I want this, the third word, renewal, change, then you have an opportunity. What happens so often is this opportunity is where we fail to be obedient to what God has already done. It wasn't the place you went to be reset. It wasn't the accident that you overcame. It wasn't the bad marriage or the broken finances that you overcame. It was an opportunity for you to be obedient to God. And so often what happens is we lose track in our obedience and we begin to think it's all about us. But God's going to call you today. And we're going to be in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to talk about this. It was a small thing to him, but it was a great big thing to you. So why are we dealing in the small things today when he said, I got you took care of. I deal with you in the small things. And that fourth word is our mindset. So often we have a very horrible mindset. We think God isn't who God says he is, but God is still God. God is still on the throne, and God is still in charge. Amen? We think about our mindset. We call it stinking thinking when we teach so often. But we have this worldly view instead of a godly view of how good God is. And I want to share with you how that is a familiar scripture this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to talk about this. Have you really been renewed? Have you? You say it, then you need to live it. Not when it's just good times, but the bad, the good, the bad, the ugly, all the time. You need to understand that God renewed you. And all you got to do is look at where you used to be in your darkest moment, your darkest hour. And I can say this confidently that everyone in here, none of you are where you used to be at. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen? So if we really begin to believe this and believe God is who he says he is, he will renew, change, and he'll give us an opportunity to change the mindset that we have about a fresh start. How many of you felt the need this year to already start and do a do-over this week? Amen. Many of us. Well, that's how we should live life. I share that. We have a five spoken will here. What is it? That's not an event. That's a lifestyle. It's not an event. We like to make it an event. It's not an event. That's the problem with all five of those. If you don't live that lifestyle, we are just simply out of balance. And God's called us to a higher level. Amen? Now, how many of us know that we needed this do-over, a chance to hit that, what we call the proverbial reset button, if you will? Life has a way of piling up things, and we know that, right? So I was thinking that, I was like, man, I get 1 week a year off. Of course, you guys know that I work in a business, I own a business, and I'm a pastor, and I do a lot of different things, so I'm pretty busy, okay? And that's not being under Satan's yoke, it's just I spend a lot of time with people because that's what I want to do. But at the same time, what happens so often, I look forward to that 1 week, those 6 days, where I don't have to think about nothing, do sermon prep, and I can shut all the way down, and I can relax. So immediately the first day, boom, the enemy attacks. I said, oh, I was expecting that. The second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and this being the seventh day. And at the end of it this morning at 4:34, I said, Lord, I thank you for the attack. But everything that the enemy formed against me, God, you've prospered again. So God, it's not about what I like. It's not about how I feel. But God, it's about who you are and what you're up to. I don't know the master's plan, but I'm going to be in the master's plan. We begin to think about how life begins to pile things on us, the weight of yesterday's mistakes, if you will, or the fatigue of the everyday mundane routine that we go through. We feel stuck in this loop of our own making. All of a sudden, I need is bigger things, bigger jobs, more money, bigger cars, and all of a sudden, I'm stuck in it. Now, all of a sudden, all I serve is the new house, the new car, the new people, the new whatever it is, and it begins to take over what God wants for me. All of a sudden, it becomes, God, I prayed for it. You give it to me. Now, I got to surrender to it. And God said, I didn't give that to you for that. I gave it to you for the advancement of the kingdom of God. I want you to have some stuff. I want you to have some peace. But I want you to understand that what I'm giving you is for me, not for you. I'm going to allow you to steward it. And I'm going to allow you to take it to the next level. We long for a fresh start. We ache for renewal. The good news is that our God is the God of fresh starts. He is a God of fresh starts. He is not a God of condemnation, but he is a God of restoration. Amen. He is not a God of condemnation. That is the enemy. But our God is a God of restoration. He is the one that restores. God specializes in new beginnings, no matter how far we feel that we have drifted. Just say amen. Amen. Now, talking about the mission drift. Everybody understand if you've ever read the book Mission Drift? Mission drift. What's mission drift? What you was created for, what you're called to do, and how you're supposed to get there. All right, God, I got you. You saved my soul from addiction, homelessness, brokenness, whatever he saved me from. And you said, follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Somehow, mission drift allows me to think it's all about me. That God, you saved me to glorify myself, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. Somehow we get hijacked. Somehow we lose track. We get off of point or off of mission of why we was saved. You was saved to glorify God. You was saved to carry the message to the next beggar. You was saved to let everybody know that Jesus Christ is Lord. You was saved because God saved us. God specializes in those new beginnings. And I thought about this in my devotional that I had, the very first devotional I had this year. As a matter of fact, my devotional is threaded into this sermon. So some of you have the same devotional because I give it to you, but you'll say, oh, that sounds familiar. All right, but listen to this. You harvest what you plant. The Bible says it's this way, Bree. You reap what you sow. Huh? Tori, it says, oh, you keep doing the same thing. You keep sowing it, and you're going to reap that. Yep. Now, we know that, right? Yep. Right? Who ain't saying right? I think Dave, the guy on the auctioneer, he says, yep. Everybody say it. Yep. Yep. Sounds familiar. You know why? Because we reap what we sow. So we begin to wonder, how did that ever happen? Well, you were sowing it. You were sowing it the whole time. Can I give you some of them you don't want to hear about? Backbiting. Bitterness. Dissension. I can keep going, but this guy last night at Ethan's, you know what he said? I need to talk to you. I said, son, the service is over and I got to leave. I said, you're going to get me in trouble. He said, well, then I'll walk with you. But he asked me this question. I looked at him, I stepped back, I said, get back up here at this table, bub. He said, I don't understand this Judas thing. And I said, this has nothing to do with sermon. But listen to this. I said, you don't understand the Judas thing? He was born to betray. I said, the betrayer will always be in your inner court. It's the people who you don't expect, the people you don't think. I said, but let me tell you something, what Jesus did. He said, I'm going to give you the example. He says, when they betray you and talk about you and stab you in the back and they're going around and causing all these things, he said, I want you to wash their feet.
Yes.
Why, God? But God, I want, he says, I want you to decrease and watch me work. So that's become my ministry, is that when people attack, I go ahead and wash the feet. So I go ahead and say, God, I don't know what's going on. It ain't none of my business anyway. It's still your business. You hear what I'm saying? So just keep that in mind. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
So when I was talking to that young man, the deceiver is always going to come. Let me just say this one more time for the new year, because I just love saying it. You ready? Unhealthy is always attracted to unhealthy. Healthy is always attracted to healthy. They never, ever work out or mix. When they mix, it never works out. Everybody got that? So if you're on a spiritual level where you're supposed to be at and you are healthy, you'll be attracting healthy, not the unhealthy.
Yes.
All right, everybody got that?
Yes.
Everybody say, that's a seed.
That's a seed.
And it was planted.
That's
the seed and it was planted. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. Healthy seeds is, healthy ground. Unfertile, unhealthy seeds is going to come and sneak up into your garden. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
But you harvest what you plant. So if you allow it, everybody say, I allow it. You harvest what you plant, so pumpkin seeds produce pumpkins, and guess what? Sunflower seeds, they produce sunflowers. Corn seeds, guess what? They produce corn, and the story goes on. That is exactly why you must ask the Lord this year, every day, and of every hour, of every moment of your life, God, I need a fresh start. That's why he made that dirty word that the enemy hates, repentance. He said, turn it around. God, I just told a little lie. God, I just had a flavor crystal. He said, repent. You hear what I'm saying? And we're going to talk about this morning. This is going to be the foundation. We're going to talk about a clean heart, if you will, so that your life will produce clean thoughts, clean actions, clean motives. And you ain't got to be mad at everybody else because somebody that's up here is trying to say, I want you on my team, but you're unhealthy. Come on, get healthy. I want you on my team. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, let's keep going. The bad desires and thoughts that remain are evidence. They are evidence that some bad seeds have also been planted, and you need to do some weeding. You need to rip out the bad plants that's in your life, and I'll guarantee you, they're so close like Judas, like I told the brother, that was his job. He was born as a betrayer. You got to understand that he did his job, and Jesus knew, and Jesus served, and Jesus loved, and you got to remove some things that you are allowing in your life. And remember, unhealthy is always going to be looking for something healthy. Amen?
Amen?
Healthy should never be looking for nothing unhealthy. Complete renewal has not yet been accomplished. None of us will be entirely pure, if you will, in this life. But purity of mind and heart is one of the worthiest goals to pursue in this brand new year. Purity of mind and heart is one of the worthiest goals to pursue. But is it your goal? Is it your goal? Are you okay with being lukewarm? Are you all right with half-truths? If you're all right with being recognized by the pastor or a good friend or a boss, or are you really, truly pure in heart? How will you be different at the end of this year, inside and out, if you meet that goal? Everybody catch that? So if you want a new goal, here it is. There it is, right? Today we're going to look at what the Bible has to say, and I call it this, about my divine reset. My divine reset. And so what I found out that I don't like very well is I don't like me. I found out that the truth is that, God, you need to reset me and forgive me over and over again. Not because I'm even saying wrong, but am I thinking wrong? Is my actions wrong? Is my presentation wrong? But God, how can I be better? This is how I wrote this sermon. So, and by the way, this is a really old sermon. I wrote it. What a day it was, Thursday. When the enemy is attacking me, I wrote this entire sermon. I usually have them months in advance. But today we're going to look at what the Bible says about my divine reset and how I handle the controversy that's right in front of me. We'll focus on three powerful verses that guide us through the process and this process of renewal. I'm going to share them with you, but we'll cover them later, so don't get too excited if you miss them. The first one is the 51st Psalm, verse number 10. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. From nothing is what that word create means. From nothing. It's got to be a supernatural act for us. Overhaul me, Lord. Don't repair me. God, I need you to overhaul me because, God, you know that I want to do good, but when I know to do good, I choose the wrong way. I know that I want to do good, but God, overhaul me. Remember David in this very scripture. He had just had an affair with Bathsheba when he should have been on the battlefield. He looked at something he ought not to be looking for, and he said, I deserve it. Bring it to me. And you know the rest of the story. He got what he wanted, and it cost him his son. It cost him the life of his son, and the story goes on. But David, after his sin with Bathsheba, recognized the depth of his corruption in his heart. He had a heart of corruption, not of Christ. You hear me? Second scripture, briefly, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 10. Who dares despise the day of, everybody say it, small things? Obedience, not all the time, it's just a small thing. I'm going to talk about obedience in this scripture. The third one is Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this, verses 23 through 24. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And what this will do, this will be our mindset this new year and the rest of our life that we need to change. We need to have a true reset. We need to understand that what I need is a fresh start. And a fresh start is I got to start thinking a little bit better. I got to start going to a little better places. I got to disassociate. I got to associate. If you're going around like people that's unhealthy all the time, do you think that's where God wants you at? Now, he wants to save the people, but are you the one? Listen to me. Well, you got to pay attention to the tension that's around you. Everybody say, it's not about me. This is my reset. It's when God begins to tell me this divine reset, it's not about you. So when I'm having problems or you're having problems and I'm talking to you, God's hitting your reset button and I'm giving him full permission as your pastor. God, go ahead and hit it. Well, they're going to run away from the church. They're going to say, God, it's still your reset button, not mine. Do you hear what I'm saying? But you need to give God permission to reset you. You need to give God full permission to reset you. Are you willing? Let's look at God's response. I'm going to give you three responses from God this morning. The scripture I've already covered with you, so we're going to do it again. Everybody say, deep clean. Yeah, I want to go to this restaurant when I'm up in Amish for my 6 days. And thankfully, they didn't do the deep clean until the first of the year. I said, well, praise the Lord. All right, deep clean. What's a deep clean? Anybody know what a deep clean is? A deep clean is not just wiping the surfaces or running the vacuum or doing that. It's about getting down and getting it polished, right? As I tell people so often, well, that's about getting the corners. That's about getting the baseboards. That's about getting down and cleaning things like you're supposed to. And a pure heart and a steadfast spirit is what it's talking about in this 51st Psalm in verse number 10. Let me read it again. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. If you want to pray this right now, this has been my, by the way, if you haven't noticed, this has been my prayer for the new year for me. I begin to say, God, I want a pure heart. God, I got a good heart. I'm not the same guy I used to be, and I thank you for that. But God, my heart's still not pure. And what I need to go with that pure heart that you're working on, guys, I need a steadfast spirit. It's not about me. It's about you. And so I began to unpack this in my prayer time this week. And our first stop is the prayer of David in that 51st Psalm. It's a profound prayer for, and listen to this, internal supernatural transformation. And I want that. I want that. David had committed a grave sin and was utterly broken by it. He didn't ask for a superficial change. He was asking for a radical transformation from the inside out. He asked for a complete transformation from the inside out, not lacking in anything, but he was saying, God, I need you to create a pure heart, not a deceived, darkened, black heart in me. He prays, create in me this pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, admitting we can't fix ourselves. The self-help books and everything that we're reading, that is not what we ought to be doing. We can't fix ourselves, and we need God. We need God. We need him to restore joy and purpose after the sin. We need God to say, you know what? You don't got to go around moping. What you got to do is once you've repented, you've got to know that I make all things new. Not some things, but I make all things new. I need you to understand that you're not God, that I'm God, that I want to heal you, that I want to deliver you, that I want to set you free. And all I need you to know is that I'm God. I need you to move from that place to this place. I need you to do what I've called you to do. Then you'll begin to see the restoration process, not the condemnation process of the enemy, but the restoration process of a living, breathing God that serves us, that loves us, that wants us. Give God a hand clap of praise. Look at that. That's powerful. A fresh start in God's eyes doesn't begin with a change in circumstances or environment. Everybody catch that? Look, I'll read the rest of it in a minute. Get that first part. A fresh start in God's eyes doesn't begin because it's a new year. It doesn't begin because I want to do it this way. Man, it begins with a changed heart. If we have the same old heart, means we're going to do the same old things, act the same old way, we're going to get the same old result. Can you say amen? Amen. So change heart. Everybody say, change my heart, Lord. Amen. Let's pray this year for a pure heart. Things. Think about the factory reset. This is where I took it to. And so my guys that work on my computers here and at our business and stuff, they always say, man, don't hit that reset button. I said, what do you mean? He says, because it changes everything. I said, oh, don't hit the reset. Sorry, I already did it. That was my first option before I called you. But think about the factory reset option that you have on your smartphones or your computers or whatever it might be. When things get bogged down, when the files get corrupted in there, the performance becomes extremely slow. Sometimes the only way to get it working right again, because we want it right now, is to wipe it clean. To wipe it clean, start fresh with the core operating system, and that's exactly what God is saying. You're not where you need today to be at today. I've been waiting on you since 2025, 24, 23, 22, 21. I thought I got your attention in 20. I thought I had your attention. You thought I took my hands off, but I had my hands on. Everybody catching this so far?
Yes.
Everybody still with me?
Yes.
I seen some people leaving. I get it. They probably going to the bathroom, all right? But it takes that factory reset. It takes more than saying, God, I need you. God, I repent. I got caught. God, I repent because I'm sober. God, I repent because it says, God, I need you to reset my heart. God, thank you for saving me. But God, I worship you because of who you are. I worship you because even if you don't. That was my prayer this morning. I was praying with my family in Kentucky. I said, hey, no, y'all wrong, man. Y'all Christians. But I said, y'all listen to me. This is what he's working for. And it's okay. Yeah, they're hurt. Yeah, they're heartbreaking. But I said, listen, hit the reset button. Hey, he made it. Glory to God. He used to be a heathen just like me, but he's worshiping the Lord today. You hear what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord, for the factory reset. That's what David is asking for right here in the scripture. A pure heart isn't something we can achieve through sheer willpower. Everybody check this out. This is the problem right here. If you want to know what the problem is, you're trying to do it. There you go. Okay, take a picture of it. Let's go home. This is the problem. We think we can do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it without Christ. Amen. You need to know that God knew you couldn't do it. He sent his only begotten son for you and me, knowing that we could not do it, that we must be born again, that we must be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody still here? That's what David is asking for. A pure heart isn't something we can achieve. It's a divine act of creation. It's a divine act of creation. God is God. You hear me? And he's so creative when he made us. He says, yeah, I'm going to give you free will. It's going to be some mistaking going on, but you're still not a mistake. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you something that's redemptive. His name is Jesus Christ. Only God can scrub away the guilt and the shame and quench the sin that's in our lives. He also asked for, in the same scripture, a steadfast spirit. Look at this. A steadfast spirit. It's about having a firm, look at this now, unwavering commitment. Everybody say commitment. It's called the dirty C word in church. To following God even when life gets tough. This means having a spirit that is firm. It's unwavering. It's committed to God. It's resilient in faith, even in the midst of challenges. This morning at 4:50, this is my prayer. I said, God, I didn't get time to mourn my own mother. I didn't get time. Now my brother's dead. And God immediately kicked me into pastoring my family. And he said, yeah. He said, that's who you are. I said, God, but I want to whine a little bit. I did just over there when I was praising the Lord. I said, God, I thank you. And he said, yeah. He said, you're my warrior. Yes. And he said, I want you to know. And he hugged me over in that corner just a minute ago like I ain't ever been hugged. Amen. He said, now I want you to preach my gospel because souls are on the line. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you understand what God is telling you this morning? This isn't just about feeling good for a day or two. It's the difference between a New Year's resolution that lasts until January the 15th and a genuine life change that will endure forever. And I thought of this example here this morning. We often see celebrities, and I was talking about some of the athletes that I just seen this. I was watching some stuff this past week. They're going into rehab, and some of the preachers are taking a sabbatical when our lives spin out of control or we feel overwhelmed. And I think I'm getting this wrong somehow. But, you know, these guys, my friends of mine, are going these sabbaticals for 3 months and 6 months at a time, and they're telling me it's biblical. And I said, I can't do it, man. I took 6 days off, man. I needed to be fed. I'm just telling you how I feel, but they recognize, these athletes do, they recognize their current system and it's not working so well for them. They're multimillionaires over and over again, and they're figuring out it's not working for me. I'm producing, I'm an athlete, I'm doing what the world says I should be doing, but they need a fresh start, and a fresh start requires a willingness from them. They have to be willing to let God come in and do the deep, painful work of cleaning house and rebuilding a sustainable foundation. And that's what we're seeing in the NFL, and we're seeing it in college football today, is that God is sweeping through all sports, and God is setting up something. And they said, you guys have been so focused on the sport that you've left me out. Now, all of a sudden, you see all these men of God going to the field before, during, and after, and they're kneeling at the corner, and they said, God, I wouldn't even be here without you. They're beginning to know that, God, you're the God that sustained me. God, you're the one that gave me the ability, and you're the one that keeps me healthy, and you're the one that I need to worship and praise no matter what. I need to worship you, God. And all of a sudden, it's sweeping through college sports, and it's sweeping through. Let me tell you, it says in the last days that revival will sweep through the United States of America, too, that God will heal and deliver and set free his people. It doesn't matter how much the enemy has given false doctrine. It doesn't matter how unhealthy the world is. The truth is, are we reset? Are we healthy in the presence of a living God? Will we stand up and will we say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. Thy will be done. I'm going to end with this before I switch gears. We need to be willing to sit inside of brokenness and ask God to do what only he can do. But are you willing? The last week I shared with that, God, I'm just going to sit right here in my brokenness. My phone's buzzing. People are calling. I said, God, I'm going to sit right out here. I'm going to sit right out here. I just need you. I need you, Lord. And I need to hear from you. God, I love you, but create in me a pure heart. Because right now I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. The things that the flesh would scream. And God says, I'm going to give you a verse. And he's given them to me. You get them today. God's other response here is in Zechariah, the power of small beginnings. Who dares despise the day of small things? Look at that. Everybody catching that? Look at that. Who dares and despises the day of small things? When we embark on the journey of renewal, we often feel overwhelmed. You hear me? So I'm going to try to read this down here. I scribbled this. This was early this morning. I need not to underestimate my humble beginnings. My humble beginning was I was lost in darkness, and God, you saved me. God, I didn't even believe in you, but you saved me anyway. What a humble beginning. God was fully aware. Listen to this. God was fully aware of the work. He was fully aware, rejoicing in the initial steps of obedience that guarantees its ultimate completion that will be by his power. So no matter how broken you was, he said, it's my power. I'm working it out. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get glory out of it, amen. The mountain of change seems too high to climb at times. We want the after picture, but we want it immediately. This is where our second verse comes in, a powerful reminder from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, who dares despise the day of the small things? This verse speaks to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. The people, they were discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged, right? They were discouraged because the new temple seemed insignificant compared to the glory of the first one. But God reminds them, and he reminds us this morning, every great movement, everlasting change begins with small, consistent steps. Everybody catch that? We tend to despise small things because they lack immediate splendor. That's the flesh. We want spectacular transformation. But the most significant transformation usually begins incrementally. A fresh start isn't a sudden lightning strike. It's the consistent choice to put one foot in front of the other. And we shared this with many people last night at Ethan's. I got there and they said, man, this week's been crazy. They've been beating people up and busting windows out and all this stuff's going on. I said, oh, man. I said, we got to keep coming here then. We're in the right place. And when your windows are getting busted out and you're getting beat up by the enemy, you know you're in the right place. You got to know that God has called you with purpose and it's not going to be easy. He's telling you, stand up and fight. It's not about you, it's about him. I thought about this because everybody say New Year's resolution. I don't want that to come out of your mouth again. Okay. All right? That's like cussing for most of us. But listen to me. I want to share this with you. Consider the fitness journey. Who's on a fitness journey? Come on, pick one. Who's on the new fitness journey for the new year? Rico, Kelly, Kathy, and Tina. All right, well, let me go ahead and tell you. I'm going to pick on you. All right, I'm picking on you. Ready? I'm talking to the ones that had the hand in there. You should never do that when I'm preaching. All right? But listen, they're on a health journey, but they got to do it right.
Right.
Okay? You want to be fit like this, it don't come overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, too. But consider the fitness journey. Nobody becomes healthy and fit overnight. It starts with one walk around the block. That's what, just one walk. And you're like, oh, my God, this is killing my knees, my hips, my ankles, my back. Oh, you know how it goes. Choosing water over a soda or one meal, instead of going, I'm going to cut that one meal out and I'm going to do 5 push-ups. Well, God, at least I got one today. And it wasn't a very good one, but I got one. These are small things, but when compounded over time, they lead to a massive life-altering result. Now, don't look at your current situation in despair. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't look at your current situation in despair because you can't see the finish line. You'll never do it. Just focus on today's step, a moment of prayer, a kind word spoken, an honest confession, opening your Bible for real instead of allowing it to have dust on it, getting into God's word so God can get in you so he can get something out of you. Amen. That's what he's looking for. God honors consistency over intensity. God honors consistency over intensity. You hear me? So my youngest son, he said this to me. He's an athlete. He's got a lot of natural stuff I didn't. He said, Dad, he said, man, we was talking to somebody the other day, was bragging about how I used to be. I said, man, I can't even remember that far back. He was bragging on what kind of an athlete I was. And he said, Dad, you're a natural athlete. I said, I absolutely was not a natural athlete, son. He said, what? And I said, no. I just made my mind up that I wasn't going to be like that no more. And I said, and I started working and working and working. I said, and that was the 8th grade. I said, by the time I was in the 10th grade, I was an All-American athlete. I couldn't figure out how I was doing it. But I figured it out. It was one step at a time. Everybody else go home. I kept lifting weights. Everybody go home. I was the 50th fastest person in the county. I became the second fastest, as big as I would. How'd I do that? I ran the bleachers with sandbags every night till I couldn't run no more and have a class. I wanted to be the best. I never became the best, maybe, but I give it everything I had. And that's what God's telling you to do. One step at a time, and I'll make you the best you can be. I'll make you the best. It's not about that. It's not about losing weight. It's not about working out. It's not about doing some of the things we think. What it's about is one step at a time, being obedient to God, doing what God's telling you to do. Now, that can entail how you eat better, how you exercise better, how you do things better, but is it about God or is it about you? Hear me? God's third response. You ready for it? Go ahead and put that up there. The wardrobe change. New attitudes and new clothes. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want to share this with you. It's really a call. Listen, this is a call. This is a call to radical transformation. And the question is, do you really want to be radically transformed? Do you really want the new start? Because it's going to take some action. We got to get this. Everybody still with me? In Ephesians 4, verses 23 through 24, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Man, I need you to take a picture of that. And so as you're seeking out your pure heart this year, you begin to understand, wow, God, I'm supposed to be like you. So I'm going to add my flavor crystals. I'm going to cause division. I'm going to cause strife easily. Flesh will do it in a minute. What he's saying is, oh, well, I'm going to kill that because I'm getting a pure heart. I had someone call me this week. They said, Pastor. I said, yeah. And they said, I can't believe it. I said something about you I should not have said. And they told me, I said, that's all right. They said, no, it's not all right. I said, what's that? And they said this to me. They said, I'm working on a pure heart. And I said, oh, I love you. I said, that's what I'm working on. And I said, even though I don't feel like I need to forgive you, I forgive you because I love you and I want you to make it. You hear what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul here gives a practical and very practical instructions for you and I on how we live out this fresh start in Ephesians 4. He's talking to us as believers in Ephesians 4. Believers are called to put off the old self. You catch that? What's that talking about? The corrupt ways, if you will. This is a practical application of the clean heart and the small steps. Paul uses an analogy of changing clothes. And if you're dirty, get out the dirty clothes, right? Put it off, man. Don't bring it over here. We're called to take off the old self, the former habits, bitterness, deceit, and anger, and put on the new self. I want a new heart. Well, quit calling yourself an ex-addict. Quit telling everybody where you go about your past. Why don't you tell them about your current circumstances and where you're headed? If you want to know the truth, you keep labeling yourself. I go into place, I was in the bank, and somebody said, oh, so-and-so was in here, and they're telling me what all they came from. I said, I don't want to hear that. They said, wait till I said, I do not want to hear that. I'm going to do a better job pastoring. Oh, but that was awesome. I said, that's not awesome. They ought to be telling you how God saved their soul, how they've been restored and healed and set on fire. Not about what God's done with things and stuff. It's about the deliverance and divine intervention that took place. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I am found. I am healed in Jesus' name. Listen. He's telling us to put off those corrupt ways, put on the new self, which is created, but it's created in God's image. The new self is created in God's image through a new transformed mind living in righteousness and holiness. How can I keep talking? I ain't saying your testimonies aren't powerful, but is that what defines you? What's God doing with you? I tell everybody, you want to share a good testimony? 1 minute of what I used to be, 1 minute of where I'm at, and let me tell you where God's taking me to. I'm like, all right, come on, stoke me right there, because that right there gets me excited. God's working in your life. Well, let's keep going, right? Notice the process. It's so important. We renew our minds. Our actions flow from our thoughts. A fresh start is maintained by actively choosing what we focus on. So I say this. If I was Catholic, I'd do all that stuff they do, but I'm not. I'm going to say it anyway. I hate going. I go to our Saturday evening service not just for the people, but for our congregation. And when I have a congregation, I walk in, I say, hot seat, share. And they're whining and complaining about themselves and what they're going through. It makes me sick. I said, why ain't you sharing how good your God's been? You know what I'm saying? Now, none of you ain't going to want to share the hot seat next time, but that's all right. But the truth is this, that's who you are. You ain't defined by what you came from. You're not even defined where you're at. You're defined by where you're going. You got to be understanding that just, well, I was an addict, I was a meth head, I was an alcoholic, I was a cheater, I was a stealer, the enemy's attacking me, he's tearing my family, puke. Puke. But it also shows you the heart. That's not a pure heart. A pure heart worships God. I can't thank you. Hey, let me tell you, I cannot thank you enough for what God's done in my life. I am still a sinner. I still struggle, but God loves me. I worship God for what he's done and what he's going to do. It's a change in heart. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, take it with a grain of salt. God, I love testimony. Don't get me wrong. But don't let your past define you. If we keep talking about the same things over and over again, the hardships in life, man, they're hard. But that's not who defined you. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ defined you. No applause. That's okay. A fresh start is maintained by actively choosing what we focus on. We change our inner monologue, and we change our perspective, and we change our lifestyle. And we don't like this, we change churches. We move from an old life of deceit to a new life of truth and trust in Christ Jesus as Savior. Actively shedding the old you and embracing the brand new you, which is made new in a relationship with Jesus Christ. This example I have for you is this about, and I thought, well, this makes sense to me. It's been a long time since I've looked for a job. Maybe it's different now. But I was thinking about the job market. When you interview for a new job, you don't wear the same old clothes that you was just painting the garage in. That's not what you do. You put on a professional attire. You project a different image because you're stepping into a brand new role. You want to be noticed and recognized, and you want to get to the place where everything looks good, and they want me, right? Yeah. Well, maybe some of you ain't working because you're wearing the same old painting clothes. Spiritually, we are given a new identity in Christ. We are children of God. That's who you really are. You're a child of the King. We are called to dress the part. Not literally. Everybody says, oh, he's going to start a sandwich. We have to wear dresses down to our ankles and no jewelry and no. No, that's not what I'm saying. Check back in. Everybody back yet?
Yeah.
We're called to dress the part, not literally, but in our character and our behavior. If I got to question who you are and what your motives are when you're in and out of the church, don't you think God is questioning them too? Listen, putting on the new self means making intentional choices every day to live according to our new identity, which is in Christ, rather than the old habits of the past. So I'm saying this in closing this morning. Quit talking about your past. Start talking about your future. Quit talking about your past. Start projecting your future. I see Todd's hand back there. He said, I was blind, but now I see. But so was you. You was blind, but now you see. I want to close with this, God's promise. God's promise in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. God is the one who began this good work in you, and I'm certain that he won't stop before it is complete on the day that Christ Jesus returns. You catch that? This older black gentleman in the service last night, he gets so excited. This is our second week of meeting him. And I was back in detox, and he said, hey, what are you doing in here? I said, man, I said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I knew it. I said, oh, yeah. He said, I've fallen from the grace of God. I said, well, jump back in it. And this week, what he keeps saying? Say it. You're speaking and telling them, say it. Why? Because he knows people's lives are dependent on it. You got to say it. You can't say, I'm an ex this or I'm struggling with that. Say, God has fixed me. God has healed me. God has delivered me. God has sent me to tell you. Say it. This scripture that I just read is an assurance of God's unwavering faithfulness to complete the spiritual transformation of your life, which is called sanctification. Amen? A fresh start is available to every single one of us this morning, right now. It requires the humility to ask God for a deep clean, as we talked about in the 51st Psalm. It requires the patience to embrace the journey of the small, consistent steps mentioned in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Don't be overwhelmed in the first step of obedience this new year and this fresh start. He is completing you. He is completing you in his power. It requires the intentionality to change our mindset and put on our new identity in Christ, which is in Ephesians 4. This is a guarantee to continue until the day of Christ and his return. I'm going to work on you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to advance you no matter what the enemy says. Do you need an overhaul this morning? How many of you here are here just for a repair? Just fix what's broken. Or do you need an overhaul? God created me a pure heart and a steadfast spirit. Some of you need that this morning. Some of you need to really think about what God's telling you and I this morning. This is messages for me. Renewal of the joy. Look at this. Renewal of the joy of salvation and empowers us to teach others God's ways, bringing lost people into the fold of God. You are not defined by your past mistakes. So quit doing it. If you're a born-again believer, quit doing it. You'll never have a fresh start when you keep reminding yourself of who you used to be. Listen, this is powerful, but it's scriptural too. And it's scriptural. We keep driving everywhere, doing everything, hanging with the wrong people because we just really don't have a fresh start. Because we got to repair. We got to repair. We have a repair, not an overhaul. Will you give him permission to overhaul you? Will you give him permission this morning? You're defined by God, who offers limitless grace and the promise of renewal. In ending, as we stand over the house this morning, I want you to hear this. Go ahead and stand over the house with us. Praise team, make your way up. I'm going to leave that right there right on the screen. Just leave it up there. We talked about this last night. Last night, we was talking about how God's working before you. And there's this name that was mentioned. And my wife shared her testimony, which she doesn't get to very much. But she was talking about how good God was and how God saved our children and saved our grandchildren, how God's working in our lives. And she said, I know for a fact that God was working in my life as a sheriff deputy. She said, I wasn't saved. And she said, 9/11, things were happening. She said, and God put this young man in front of me, and God saved his life. And years later, brought him to this church. His name's Victor Youngblood. She says, I knew God was protecting me then, that he was healing me, and that he was calling me. And then she told him, she says, I never knew God was going to use Victor Youngblood, but Victor Youngblood didn't know that God was going to use him. So you begin to think about that. God's orchestrated your comeback. He's orchestrating your new fresh start. But he's not going to do it with a lukewarm heart. He's not going to do it if you're following the flesh and trying to work it out yourself. He said, what I need you to do is understand that I've called you with purpose. Here it is, a reminder. A fresh start is renewal. The 51st Psalm is telling us that we must have a pure heart. The change comes, that's the second one, renewal and change. It comes with a steadfast spirit. I'm changing. I don't care what happens. I am changing. I am not going to remain the same. And then we're given the opportunity in Zechariah chapter 4, obedience. Obedience is still the first step. It might seem incremental. It might seem very small. But he's saying, if you just take the first step and believe. And then the mindset in Ephesians 4. It says that you are made new. You need to grasp that you've been made new. You don't got to perform no more for God. He's already performed for you, an audience of one. You hear what I'm saying? You are made new. So won't you do this? It says, put on the new self. So for me, no matter how bad I got in the last week, no matter how much my family was attacked, I had to have a new mindset. I said, you know what, God? We're going to win no matter what. So I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bellyache. I'm not going to do all things the enemy wants me to do. God, I'm going to strap on my big boy pants, and I'm going to fight. That's who you are. You're a warrior for Christ. And then our mindset begins to change because we become a new self. Then here's the promise I was finished with in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. This is God's promise. He is the one who began his good work in you. This is I began the good work in you. I did it. I did it. I sent someone when you're driving fence post 21 years ago on Clark Street to tell you that you're worth it, that I love you, that I will never quit on you. I'll never walk away from you. I will pursue you to the ends of the earth. I'll send someone who will walk the streets that you'll betray, that you'll be mean to them, and all of a sudden everything will fall apart. But I was looking for the jewel in there, and I found it. I began to understand that was that little girl that I was sending you to talk to. I was redeeming not just her daddy, but I was redeeming her. I was saving her kids. I was saving her family. You begin to look at that. You begin to know that no matter what the weapons are, no matter where you've been at, no matter how you're treated, God said if you'll be obedient and you go to him, he said years later and decades later, I'll bring him into a relationship if you'll just be obedient to what I called you to do. Do you want a new thing? A new thing comes with a new attitude. It comes with a reset. It comes with knowing that all things are new in Jesus Christ. I'm no longer an addict. I'm no longer homeless. I'm no more or longer incarcerated. I'm no longer broken. I'm redeemed. I'm healed. And I'm set free in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Jesus. Do what you want to do. Devil, you attack and I'll fight back with everything inside of me. You're going to wish you would have never laid hands on my family. You're going to wish that you would have never come against me. Stronger is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to fight back. That's who you are. You got to be willing, change the way of thinking. You understand? He began to work in me. I got saved 30 years ago, and I was perfect. I was a mess. I was a mess. I was a mess 10 years ago. I was a mess last year. I was a mess last week. But he began to work. He restored. He renewed. He said, are you healthy? Because if you're unhealthy in any way, you need to get healthy. So if you want a fresh start, you got to start thinking with a fresh start. I ain't going around them no more. I'm not going to that place no more. I'm not going to talk like that no more. I'm not going to process it no more. I'm not going to listen to that no more. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. God created me a pure heart. So when all the trials come against you, you can stand fast. It doesn't matter how ugly it gets. My little girl called me with her husband, and she didn't know what was going on. She said, Dad, I'm trying not to cry. And she's bawling. I said, it's okay, baby, go ahead. And I said, I'm mad. Devil, you coming against my family? You don't know who you messing with. And I remember all those hours that she was in that torment. And I said, okay, baby, I'm praying right now. This is going to happen. And it happened. And she said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. I said, oh, I absolutely believe it. You hear what I'm saying? You go ahead and you do what you're supposed to do. And you watch God do what only God can do. It doesn't matter like you feel like you're losing everything in the world. God said, quit it, stop it, and go walk away from it. Quit it, stop it, and walk away from it. Allow God to do what only God can do. As we begin to worship this morning, I want you to remember what we shared this morning. Go back and take the notes if you haven't. They're online. Renewal, change, opportunity, mindset. Here's God's promise. I started the work in you, and I will bring it to completion. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It don't matter the happenstances. Are we focused on who God is? God, give me a fresh start. I want a fresh start. I want a fresh fire. God, I want everything you have for me.